بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. Honorable ulama, respected elders and brothers, indeed it is a very difficult task to say a few words in this particular gathering wherein senior ulama, masatida, and various other senior people are present. But one incident comes to mind, and very briefly I will just mention it. Few years back, one great alim was in our country, Hazrat Qari Amirul Hasan Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, was a Khalifa, Hazrat Maulana Zakaria Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, and Hazrat Maulana Zakaria Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh sent him to Hardoi, and he was in the company of Hazrat Maulana Barul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, and he taught in that particular madrasa in Hardoi until his last breath. A great senior personality, and if I say that, it won't be an exaggeration. It is mentioned in the hadith, لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهُ. Such a person, such a personality, that if he has to take a qasam in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will free him of that oath. So he was somewhere in Joburg, and various senior ulama from across the country were present there. And I was very young at that particular time, young now as well. But at that time, one senior alim asked me just to very briefly translate what Hazrat is saying for those people who are in that particular majlis who do not understand Urdu. Out of shame, out of fear, and with various senior ulama in the presence, I did not have the courage to say anything. After that, Maulana Ibrahim Pandor Sahab, who initially asked me to do it, came to me and told me the reason why I did this was, firstly, is when you speak in the presence of the seniors, then you will gain their tawajjuh and attention, and inshallah they will make dua for you. And secondly, if you make a mistake, then they will correct you in your mistake, and that will make you better and will improve you. So with that intention, I'll just say a few words, more particularly on a topic which we know is very silent, it's abandoned. The crisis in the Central African Republic, a very horrific crisis which our Muslim brothers and sisters are experiencing. And we know it is very silent, it is abandoned, it is an orphan crisis. Very little makes it to the media outlets and the various other print media and other forms of media. Respected elders and brothers, since the early 1960s, when the Central African Republic received their independence from the French, the country has been going through some turbulence, fragile states, bankruptcies, various coups. But on March 2013, last year, when a coup was exercised in that particular country, which escalated and led to violence, which led to intervention of the French forces, which subsequently led to the ethnic cleansing of Muslims from that particular region. A brief background to what happened, which we are all unaware because of the propaganda and the media, the wrong bombardment that is taking place, where in the capital city of Bangui, there was a masjid known as Masjid Al-Fu, wherein 60 musallis, while in sajda, while in salah, they were beheaded and made shaheed. This led to the formation of the so-called rebel group, which overthrew that particular government, and then obviously the intervention of the French forces, and subsequently the ethnic cleansing of the Muslims from that particular area. Respected elders and brothers, it is very sad and with a very hard heart we have to say that at this particular time, in various villages apart from the capitals, the Muslims are still besieged, they are still surrounded, and there is no possible route or channel or passage where they can escape to some sort of safety and security. From the capital itself to the nearest border, which is a Chad border, is approximately 1,000 kilometers. And with great difficulty, people have been thrown out of their houses. In the cities Yaloka and Barwe, where in Yaloka there are approximately 10,000 Muslims and families, and in Barwe about 4,000 Muslim families, dozens of masajid. Today not one masjid remains in those two cities, and not one Muslim remains in those particular cities. Under great circumstances, great hardship, overnight the people had to flee. In fact, on behalf of the Al-Imdad Foundation, when we were in neighboring country Chad, we had the opportunity of visiting some of the refugees who were approximately 2,000 kilometers from where they had fled. There are approximately 10,000 refugees in this particular camp. And as usual, we know the camps, wherever they are, the difficulties there, people are camped out either in camps or people are camped out in the open. And here, with the nature of the country being a desert, a semi-desert area, with absolutely no resources to the extent that there's no infrastructure also, to travel from one place to another place is extremely difficult because of the lack of resources. It is desert all over. There's no roads to travel with. In that particular condition, the people had to travel and come to some sort of safety and flee to some sort of safety and security. Upon meeting some of the refugees, respected elders and brothers, firstly we seen, and something which we had not seen before in various other camps in different parts of the world, where first time in my life I seen pregnant women. I don't have clothes. They were in the underwear. Muslim women. They had to flee in that particular scenario, in this particular case, because majority of the Muslims in the Central African Republic, having roots in the neighboring countries such as Chad, Cameroon, and some from Congo, majority of them have come from Chad because they have been coming back into their countries. Unfortunately, the local authorities have said that they are coming back to their homeland and they will not be refugees and they will not be given refugee status, which will not make them eligible for any sort of aid from the international community. 1 million people are displaced already. Majority of them are on the borders, and approximately 60,000 people are in Chad, and a few unidentified numbers are in Cameroon. Respected elders and brothers, as I've mentioned earlier, that as we speak, many Muslims are besieged. The international community will not do anything to even bring some sort of safety and security, to the extent that unfortunately that the United Nations will only be allowed to deploy their peace troops in January 2015. The violence broke out last year, March 2013. It escalated in December, and the first batch of peace troops from the United Nations will only arrive next year, January. And we know, respected elders and brothers, from the history of Bosnia that we have, and various other countries, wherein the Muslims were brutally murdered, and when the Muslims were on the receiving end, at that time no peacekeeping forces would come forward and bring about or install some sort of safety and security. It is only when the Muslims get an upper hand, unfortunately, is then when the Kuffar will collectively come in and negotiate a ceasefire and bring about some sort of stability in the area. Respected elders and brothers, while we were in the refugee camps, footage and videos were shown to us, which actually took place on the outskirts of the Bangui capital, one of the cities on the outskirts, wherein a fire was ignited and Muslims were then thrown and flung alive into this fire and they were burned to death. And upon that, people were sitting there celebrating the death. This is the condition and the atrocities our Muslim brothers and sisters are going through in this particular country. In fact, we even seen footage and videos of cannibalism where the flesh of a person, a human eating a flesh of another human. So respected elders and brothers, the situation is much more worse than what we see in the propaganda, what we see on the screens, or what we are reading in the newspapers, respected elders and brothers. Therefore, it is our responsibility, firstly as Muslim brothers and sisters, and then being part of the continent, that to try and assist our Muslim brothers and sisters in this part of the world. We know that among the signs of Qiyamah, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has outlined in various hadith, one major sign is one catastrophe will barely complete and barely come to an end, and another catastrophe will afflict this ummah. The Syrian catastrophe is not even under control. The Central African Republic, the Egyptian crisis, the Burma crisis, it is so difficult to even encounter and number the various different countries where our Muslim brothers and sisters are suffering. And it's unfortunate to say that the way it seems like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid that it come through, that the way it seems like going forward, wherever man-made disasters are going to take place, is only going to be in the Muslim countries. We can see from the geopolitics of the current time, what is happening in the Middle East, what is happening in the West as well, respected elders and brothers. But how unfortunate are we that despite knowing what is happening to our Muslim brothers throughout the world, despite knowing what's happening in Syria, and despite knowing what's happening in the Central African Republic, what is our condition in South Africa, respected elders and brothers? Infighting, bickering, slandering, backbiting. If we will continue to do this, respected elders and brothers, this little bit of freedom of deen that we have here, which we should value and make shukr, because this freedom of deen that we have here, we will not enjoy anywhere in the world. If we will continue to remain in this particular scenario as we are living now, slandering one another for no particular reason, backbiting, fighting, we are inviting the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, respected elders and brothers, there is no safety for any one of us. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, taking all this into consideration, the difficulties our Muslim brothers and sisters are facing, first and foremost, we need to come about unto simplicity in every facet of our lives, be it our nikahs, be it our weddings, be it in our homely lives, our social setup, in every facet, immaterial of whichever background we may come from, or whichever robe we may adore, but we should bring about simplicity in our life, and at the same time make tawbah and istighfar, and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And respected elders and brothers, this ni'mat of iman, and this freedom of religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us in this country, let us value this, let us cherish this, tables can turn at any time. And for this also, respected elders and brothers, we need to make an effort so that this iman and this religious freedom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us in this country may be maintained, not only for us, respected elders and brothers, our children and grandchildren that are going to come. We need to sow the seeds today so that they may benefit tomorrow, respected elders and brothers. We know the poverty, the disadvantaged persons that are living in our community, the difficulties they are also going through. Nothing has changed in the last 20 years much for the ordinary poor man. In fact, he is much more worse off than before. But what we need to do, respected elders and brothers, a community, every masjid, every community should collectively club something, start some sort of action in the disadvantaged societies, be it feeding schemes, be it bursaries, be it in a form of skill centers. But we need to do this, respected elders and brothers. It is a matter of survival in the country. And unfortunately, respected elders and brothers, I want to say it very bluntly, that youngsters like me and in my age group, unfortunately, we are very lazy today. If we do not buck up and we do not educate ourselves, obviously we have to come on to amal. I'm not going into that in that aspect. That's a non-negotiable. But if we do not buck up and we do not pull our socks and we do not step up our social efforts within our communities, never mind abroad, respected elders and brothers, then unfortunately our future in this country will be very bleak, respected elders and brothers. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, whatever little efforts are taking place, let us try and be part and parcel of these efforts. For example, one of a very noble effort that the Al-Imdad Foundation is running in some of the hospitals, where we know poor people come and line up in the queue from 4 to 5 in the morning. They leave their locations, they come to our hospital, they have nothing to eat, and it's 10 or 11 o'clock before a doctor even gets to see them. 5 or 6 hours they are standing in the queue, and there's nothing for them to have at home. There's nothing even to get there. It's something small, and something we take it as small. Just a small sandwich, respected, a peanut butter sandwich, maybe with some juice or some tea. When we go out and we distribute it to these particular people, the happiness it brings is something else. Apart from the reward of sadqa, and we know the sadqa, the benefit of sadqa is it averts difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes afflictions that are about to come or that are drawn towards us. Apart from all that, respected elders and brothers, the longevity it gives us as a Muslim community is something else. The miles we get out of there is something else. So we need to set up these kinds of efforts. They are winter warmth efforts, and more constructively, something like a skills center where we can set up as a Muslim community, get people involved, get the business people involved, and teach the people some skills so that they can go ahead and look after their families, take care of their families, so that in future, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for us and for our progeny to live with ease in this particular country. And we know, respected elders and brothers, challenges will always come. But we need to prepare, and we need to navigate through these challenges. And as I've mentioned earlier, respected elders and brothers, this will only come firstly with our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the crisis is out there throughout the world. Syria is a crisis, Central Africa is a crisis, but we each and every home of ours is a crisis itself, respected elders and brothers. Just a few days back, I was sitting with one friend of mine, and he was discussing that previously, maybe fortunately, if the X is not fortunate, But if someone was on alcohol, you could smell the person's on alcohol and people would abstain for him, you know. Nowadays, it has advanced to such a level where it even looks like a fruit drink. Our children are in our homes. They're in their bedrooms or in their lounge and we think they're having a fruit drink because the appearance is that of a fruit drink. There is no smell. There is no bad odor. There is no bad taste. In the meantime, our own children under our nose are having alcohol, respected elders and brothers. This is the condition of our ummah. And this is because of the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and we are making nashukri. Instead of channeling it in the correct avenues, we are channeling it in the incorrect avenues. So respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for our progenies to come till qiyamah to remain steadfast of iman. We know all these challenges, wherever they are, internally, externally, nationally, internationally, these are challenges which is a direct onslaught on the iman of the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whatever we are seeing now, respected elders, the ulama have mentioned is a period of sifting, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is differentiating between those who are on haqq and those who are on batil, those who are on truth and those who are on falsehood. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us that we may identify what haqq, and we may identify with the jamaats of haqq. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for us in our country more specifically that there are various jamaats who we can identify with to remain steadfast on deen, inshallah. We've got senior ulama who we can attach ourselves to. We've got the tablighi effort which we can take part in. We got the zikr majalis and the khanqas also that are running in our country, alhamdulillah. So respected elders and brothers, let us pull our socks up, take part in these efforts so that we may bring about and revive deen, not only within ourselves also, within our households also, and within our progeny. And when we see what is happening throughout the country, what is happening in our society, the conclusion is only one thing. Only our ta'alluq and our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can protect us. If our ta'alluq and our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not intact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an opportunity, one more day. Let us try to re-establish our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we are not going to re-establish our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are not going to strengthen our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I'm afraid, respected elders and brothers, we are heading to destruction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for me, for all of us, for the entire ummah that is suffering, for our brothers and sisters within our country, our indigenous people who are suffering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the difficulty of each and everyone. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to die with iman, to live with iman, and for our progeny till qiyamah to remain steadfast with iman, live with iman, and die with iman. Jazakumullah khair. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.